This is Jordan Sekulow. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Iran announces to the world uranium enrichment by the Islamic Republic to be, quote, as much as we want. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Trump overnight accusing Iran of violating the nuclear deal long before he became president. And Iran's president responding with a warning, saying his country will start increasing uranium enrichment this weekend.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Right now, Europe's holding the fire. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. So they've told Iran, do not violate the deal that we said we'd still uphold with you. Right now, Iran's violating that. So they've gone over the limit on how much uranium they're allowed to have, and they said they're going to go over the enrichment percentage limit of 3.67%. If they do that, then Europe's going to be left really with a hard choice of, do we pull out of this? They're in violation of the deal.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, this is major news coming out of Iran after they have continued to provoke America and the Western world and our allies in the Gulf by the attacks on the shipping boats, the oil boats, the attacks on the oil pipeline, the shooting down of a U.S. drone, which almost led to military action by the United States. Ultimately, President Trump believed that that would further escalate things in a more dangerous way for our allies and friends in the region. Now, Iran has announced, and if you translate it from Farsi, that, quote, our enrichment rate is not going to be 3.67% anymore. That was what the level was allowed under the deal. That's the level of enrichment you need for just a nuclear power plant and nothing more. And it went on to say, this is the president of Iran, the so-called moderate Rouhani, quote, our uranium enrichment rate will be, quote, as much as we want it to be. What this does is change the timeline from Iran to have a nuclear grade uranium that could be delivered by an ICBM or even a shorter range missile, mid range, from where it was around a year to 2 to 3 months. So if Iran goes down this path, it could legitimately have a nuclear weapon in 2 to 3 months. We are taking your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I want to go right to Than Bennett. Than, your team in Washington, D.C. put together a memo I've got in front of me on this issue, because though the U.S. pulled out of the JCPOA, the Iranian nuclear deal, not much of a deal, what we found out now that is the truth. And the truth is that this deal didn't prevent Iran from going nuclear for at least 10 years. It had a 10-year provision on the sunset on the deal, which means the deal could expire in 10 years. But what we now found out is that Iran, even under the deal, could go have nuclear weapons capability in a year if they followed the deal. If they follow the deal, they could have nuclear weapons capability within a year at any moment they decided to drop out of it. And under the deal itself, I mean, we were told that this, again, that this was going to be, it was going to really delay an Iranian nuclear weapon. And we found out that's absolutely not true. Now it's 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, Jordan, compliance with this deal was always an illusion. I mean, even under the rosiest of descriptions that were given to us by the Obama administration, they conceded that this was only a 10-year deal that would sunset, after which there would be no compliance requirements on Iran. But, Jordan, we said from the very beginning that everything from the inspection regime to how they were allowed to cover their tracks would allow them to be very close to enrichment, even while pretending to comply with the deal. But, Jordan, we know they never intended to comply, and the pace with which they are now violating the deal confirms that even while the deal was in place, Jordan, they were not complying even as it was in place.
Folks, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. What should the U.S. response be? I will give you the response from our president, from the press secretary as well of the White House on Iran's latest move. How should Europe respond? I mean, they're being given this deadline of Sunday, or else we go nuclear at a level that without any restraints. And this is the Islamic Republic of Iran we're talking about. Give us a call now, 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. Well, pretty shocking message from Iran's so-called moderate president, Rouhani. Not so moderate after these recent provocations, which have almost led to military conflict. As President Trump says, moments away from launching a military response to Iran's downing of a U.S. drone that was flying in international airspace, not in Iranian airspace. And U.S. military put out evidence of that. So it was a, again, that followed the attacks on the oil tankers, the oil pipeline, and then a direct attack on a U.S. military surveillance drone in international airspace that was shot down by Iran. So but they've almost, I mean, they've gotten close. We even have them on video, you know, putting the bomb, taking the unexploded devices, magnetic devices off of the boats, that the device that didn't explode, so that people wouldn't be able to tie them as directly. Of course, I guess they didn't realize they were being on camera. They're actually shooting at the drone that was videoing them doing that. That was the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Well, now Iran's president has announced that, quote, our level of enrichment will no longer be 3.67. 3.67 is for a nuclear reactor, basically nuclear power. And that was what was part of the nuclear deal that the U.S. used to be a part of, but we always thought was a joke at the ACLJ and a horrible deal we were opposed to. But he went on to say that we will put this commitment aside by whatever amount we feel like, by whatever amount is our necessity and our need, we will take this above 3.67. That means we are going against the deal. And he goes on further. He has a deadline. This is the Iranian president. From July 7th onward, the Arak reactor, which is one of their nuclear reactors, if you don't, this is talking to Europe, and the remaining members like Russia and China of the P4 plus one of the Iranian nuclear deal, if you don't operate according to the program and time frame of all of the commitments you've given us, most of those, by the way, economic, that are impossible to meet because the U.S. is not part of the deal. So, I mean, Europe really has tried to get around this, but cannot meet all of the commitments. We will return the Arak reactor to its previous condition. Meaning the condition, this is his own words, the Iranian president, that you say is dangerous and can produce plutonium. We will return to that unless you take action regarding all your commitments. Than Bennett, to you first, then to Skip Ash. Than, it is impossible for the remaining members of the nuclear deal to return to all of those commitments.
Yeah, and Iran knows that, Jordan. I mean, so this is just a clear indication that they have every intention of blowing through all of the restrictions that were previously allegedly on them under the JCPOA. This is their telegraphing of that, Jordan. They still want to put the blame on the European powers that remain in the plan. But look, we said this when the Trump administration announced they were walking away from the deal. There is no way the European coalition can make up for the economic gap caused by the United States. That's why the United States has so much clout in the world, because when they pull out of a deal like this, there's no way the rest of the world can compensate. Jordan, I would just add one other quote from the Iranian regime, just to go along with those two that you read. They also said sort of mockingly, all of our actions can be returned to the previous condition within 1 hour. So why are you worried? Jordan, that statement proves the point. Even if you believe every word out of the Iranian regime, which of course I don't, but even if you do, they are trying to walk this fine line and coming right up to the edge, one step away from what would be a violation of this deal, is so much so that they could return to it in under 1 hour. Jordan, does the rest of the world even think that that description is tenable? Because there's no question that it should not be.
How should the U.S. respond to this latest Iranian announcement that they are going to be on a path to a nuclear weapon within as now in a time frame that's 2 to 3 months? So we're talking about by the end of the summer, you know, early fall, that they've got a nuclear weapon. How should the U.S. respond? Give us a call right now. I want your reactions, especially, you know, if you have family members that have served or are serving, if you're a veteran. Because it's serious when you're dealing with the Islamic Republic of Iran. Certainly our president understands what it means to take any kind of direct military action against Iran. So what should the U.S. do? Should it just be more sanctions? Should we convince the world to even try to get Russia and China on board with more sanctions? Because, I mean, the Russians and the Chinese do not want an Iran with a nuclear weapon. And I think it's going to be up to the U.S. to prove that that's the path Iran is going down. Their rhetoric right now certainly sounds that way. It is threatening, okay, in tone. That's how the rhetoric is, even when it's translated into English. It is threatening in tone. And it was delivered in this kind of, you know, we'll do whatever we want kind of strategy. I will tell you that the Chinese and the Russians, they don't like countries that start talking about nuclear weapons and nuclear programs saying, we'll do whatever we want whenever we want to. And that is exactly what Iran now is saying. So how should the U.S. respond? Give us a call. I want to hear your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. This is a very serious issue for the President of the United States, for our military, for our Department of Defense, for our Secretary of State, for our State Department to be dealing with. We've got a lot of troops in the region as well. We've got a great ally in the region, Israel. We have the oil assets and our allies in the Gulf states as well. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. This is what President Trump had to say. Interesting enough, he tweeted, Iran was violating the $150 billion plus $1.8 billion in cash nuclear deal with the United States and others who paid nothing long before I became president. So again, echoing a similar statement from the White House, and they have now breached their stockpile limit. Not good! Exclamation point. The statement from the White House press secretary, the Iranian regime took action today to increase its uranium enrichment. It was a mistake under the Iran nuclear deal to allow Iran to enrich uranium at any level. That's what we thought, that allowing them to have that 3.67 threshold was dangerous because it makes sure it allowed them to always make the jump whenever they felt like it. Like as Stan said, within an hour, they can start making the jump. So they can keep threatening you and say, well, we'll go back in an hour, or we're going to move forward in an hour. And by the way, experts have all looked at it and said if they wanted to, even turning on a plutonium reactor as well, which they say, you say is so dangerous, we're going to turn it on anyways if you don't meet all of our demands, which are impossible to meet because the U.S. isn't part of the deal. And so we will see if Iran is bluffing, which it would be quite bizarre. I think they're going to see how weak Europe is. The responses out of Europe are really weak compared to the U.S. saying, basically, listen, there's no doubt that Iran, before the deal's existence, Iran was violating its terms. We must restore the longstanding nonproliferation standard of no uranium enrichment for Iran. The United States and its allies will never allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons. So that's key. That is a red line right there. Let me go to Skip Ash on that. Skip, that seems to be the U.S. red line for Iran. I mean, there's all these other provocations that could lead to a smaller military altercation or a briefer military altercation. But the big red line is the United States and the rest of the free world, including, I'd say, I'd add Russia and China to that too, do not want to see Iran with a nuclear weapon.
I think that's correct, but we have to keep in mind that Iran is speaking to multiple audiences by its actions. First of all, it's trying to deflect attention by its own population. Right now, the economy's in free fall. The sanctions are really biting, and now they're trying to say, it's not our fault, we're being pressured from without. They're also appealing to the Europeans, the weak Europeans who don't want to do things, who are ready to appease to the extent they can. And we have to keep in mind, because there's an election over here, the Iranians are aware of the criticisms by the Democrats of the current president, and they're to include comments that they would go right back. If the Democrats were back in charge, they would go right back to the original deal. So therefore, they're trying to bring pressure on the Democrats and on those who support the Democrats to bring pressure against the president. So all these actions have to be taken looking through that lens. But this gives the opportunity, which is one that we want to avoid, and that is an opportunity for them to miscalculate, because this president will only be pushed so far, and then he's going to take action. And that's the real danger here.
And I think the red line from the White House is this: the United States and its allies will never allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons. That means they get close, military action starts. But take a listen. That's a pretty far off, that's a serious red line, right? That's like the use of chemical weapons. It's not every provocation that will require, some massive military action. But listen to how the Democrats are trying to portray President Trump to the world and to American voters. This is Senator Gillibrand during that Democrat debate. Take a listen, Bite 12.
President Trump is hell-bent on starting a war with Iran. My first act will be to engage Iran to stabilize the Middle East and make sure we do not start an unwanted, never-ending war.
Listen, Skip, the President of the United States may very well have to start a war with Iran at some point, at least take some military action. But I have spent considerable time with the President of the United States as a very junior member of his legal team. And I will tell you, this is a president who, by his actions also, is not hell-bent on starting wars with any country. He wants to end wars.
He ran to end the wars. I don't think he wants to go to war, but I think he has the iron will that we will go to war if it is necessary in the national interest of the United States, and the Iranians better learn that quickly.
You know, folks, we bring this analysis. We've got people like Skip Ash, our national security legal team. We've got their time in the military, the Pentagon, stationed in Korea as well. Support our matching challenge. Donate at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call. Bill, calling from Wyoming, on line 3. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good day, and thanks for taking my call. I've got a question. Didn't Iran pull something like this and put pressure on America 39 years ago? And seems to me that backfired on them.
Are you talking about the revolution itself and then the capture of the American hostages, which then Jimmy Carter, I think is what you're referring to, had a horrible time trying to get those hot American hostages from our embassy in Iran, who got stuck there during the Islamic revolution and the overthrow of the Shah, could not get them released, and then there were some even military deaths with some flights that were trying to go in, and I think the use of helicopters, and we lost some of those. State Department officials were killed who were serving in that embassy. Ultimately, though, the day Ronald Reagan is elected, now, he had a lot tougher rhetoric, by the way, on Iran. I think he said something to the extent of, if they are not released by the time I take the oath of office, Tehran will be flattened. You won't be able to hold them hostage over that. We realize their lives may be in danger by the actions that we take, but so will all of yours, Iran and Ayatollah. And so things did change. So I'll go to Skip on that, because Skip, again, as a kind of a student and a professor of military history, Iran certainly has used hostages in the past. You mentioned that, seeing the election here in the United States, we played the soundbite from even a Democrat here trying to mischaracterize the president, the exact way that Iran wants to characterize President Trump to their domestic audience, which is that he wants to start a war and he's hell-bent on starting wars. The idea that Iran has done this before, but the tough rhetoric has backed them off. Do you think that tough rhetoric can continue to back them off if necessary?
Well, I think whenever we have a president like President Trump who puts out a word, he draws a line in the sand, and then if you cross it, he responds, unlike the previous president who kept moving the lines every time they were crossed. I think they know that they have a president here who will respond should he believe that it's in the natural interest to do so. And I think that is something they have to play with. The other thing is that they have, by their actions, the Iranians are uniting all the Sunni kingdoms, and they're even uniting them with Israel. So you have strange bedfellows. You have such fear generated by the Iranians in the region that traditional enemies are actually becoming allies because of the threat of a nuclear Iran. Is not only a threat against us, it's not only a threat against the Europeans, it's a threat against all the Sunni kingdoms and Israel in the Middle East. And at some point in time, those nations cannot rest and be under the pressure of a nuclear capable Iran. So at some point in time, war will break out if they continue on this glide path.
And this is a path, again, you look to our European allies, and of course you're not getting a lot of real strong reaction. This is Britain's foreign secretary Jeremy Hunt. He said that Iran is, quote, trying to copy North Korean brinkmanship, and said Monday that he's deeply worried about Iran's move. Now, we know, Than, this is the same time as your team put together that the Europeans are trying to salvage this by Sunday, the deadline set by Iran, before they start, in the words of Iranian President Rouhani, to just quote him directly. I mean, I think we will enrich uranium by whatever amount we feel like, but whatever amount is our necessity and our need, we will take it above 3.67. Again, I just want to read that again. We will enrich uranium by whatever amount we feel like. Oh, and by the way, we're also going from July 7th onward to open, quote, the ARAC reactor. And if you don't operate according to the program and time frame of all the commitments you've given us, we will return the ARAC reactor to its previous condition. Goes on, meaning the condition that you, Europe and the world and U.S., say is dangerous and can produce plutonium. We will return to that unless you take action regarding all your commitments. Than, I mean, he again, I know that he's put the Europeans and the rest of the members of this deal in a place where they really cannot meet all the conditions, because without the U.S. financial system, which they no longer can access, there's no way to meet all the conditions of the deal. That being said, this deal was such a fraud, we're finding out more and more. Iran is kind of telling us through their actions how fraudulent this deal was.
Jordan, I got to be honest with you. It's time for the European powers that are a part of this deal to wake up. I mean, it's been clear to the rest of the world for a long time that this deal was fraudulent in the first place, that Iran had no intention of complying. And now they're outright telling you. I mean, they're telling you that they want to waffle back and forth on either side of these compliance lines. These European powers, Jordan, they've got to understand that the deal is dead. And I would tie this back to the caller that you just took. If you look at Iran's history, they have been trying to take down the United States and the West politically and militarily for decades. Now, their preferred tool has generally been terrorism by proxy. But, Jordan, that has become much more direct over the last few months. The oil tanker attacks, the drone that was shot down. And now they have made it clear that they do not intend to comply long term with even the parameters of the deal that they negotiated. So, look, I would just say to the European powers, I understand why you wanted this deal. I mean, you certainly, the idea of a deal that would keep Iran from pursuing a nuclear weapon is something that would be good to achieve. Jordan, it was not achieved in this deal, and continuing to pretend that it was only makes the world a more dangerous place. It's time for them to wake up.
Folks, we're about to get into our second half hour. I know, William, you're holding. We've got some other people on the line. We will get to your phone calls right when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. How should the president respond? How should Secretary Pompeo respond? What should we do with our allies as well? Because I think that if we can get Russia and China on board here and say, you know what, Iran, this kind of language we don't like either, and we'll talk to Skip Ash about this, this kind of out of control, we'll do whatever we want with our nuclear program, is also dangerous for Russia and China. Those are not countries that like that kind of talk. Certainly the Europeans don't like it. In the U.S., we're not going to be disrespected like that. We know the big red line is Iran getting close to a nuclear weapon, and the U.S. has said we're not going to let that happen by whatever means that takes to stop. But I think there's a lot can be done with these other countries because this rhetoric plays into what they can't stand the most. The Chinese and the Russians will not be in a deal, even for economic benefits, with a country who uses their nuclear program and says, we'll do whatever we want, whenever we want. They're not real allies. Now, we've talked about the unholy alliance. So for all the callers in who make it to the show today, they will get a copy of our book, Unholy Alliance. And that is between Iran and Russia. And again, it's unholy. And again, being an ally of Russia is never really a great idea. They don't really stand with you once the wars begin. But if you get on the air today, you will get a copy of that book by my dad, Jay Sekulow, Unholy Alliance. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, because I think it gets into a lot of this and a lot of what the president's going to have to deal with as well. Remember, it's the third day of our matching challenge. July is a matching challenge month. This is the third day. You all have been great the first 2 days. Our radio audience has been awesome. Facebook and Periscope audience have been awesome responding to the matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate to the ACLJ at aclj.org is doubled. So you double the impact of your donation. So if you make a $20 donation right now at aclj.org, you're only charged $20 and it's tax deductible. But we are effectively getting $40. So make that donation, be part of the matching challenge at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Trump overnight accusing Iran of violating the nuclear deal long before he became president. And Iran's president responding with a warning, saying his country will start increasing uranium enrichment this weekend.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Yes, I mean, this is the breaking news of the day. You've got Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, after all of the provocations of Iran in these past few weeks, the oil tanker explosions, one of those may have been a torpedo that was used. We know others were magnetic explosive devices, six vessels there, an oil pipeline attacked by an Iranian drone, then a U.S. drone shot down by Iranian missiles. And so you've seen all these provocations. Now Iran has focused their attention not just on the U.S., but on the remaining members of the nuclear deal with Iran, the members who are actually in the moment trying to figure out a way to do business with Iran without violating U.S. sanctions. And they're trying to put this special mechanism together. Obviously, that is not enough yet for Iran. Now, Iran might be trying to play some game where they're going to see how much business could be done with this special mechanism. We're going to talk about it, explain it on the show, what Europe is trying to do here, where you can do business with Iran but not violate U.S. sanctions. But right now, it appears that Iran is saying that's not going to be enough. You've got to, quote, this is from Iran's president, we will take the next step in increasing uranium closer to weapons grades level this coming Sunday if they don't offer a new deal by then. So now they want a new deal, and we're going to increase uranium at any amount that we want, any amount that is required. We will take it over 3.67, which was what the deal allowed, which is for a nuclear power facility, which is what Iran says they want. Their advice to Europe and the U.S. is to go back to the negotiating table and do a new nuclear deal. Yeah, right. I don't think that this president or any of those European nations should do that. But they also are forgetting Russia and China as part of that deal. Now, what is even more dangerous from the Iranian president, and then we'll start getting to your phone calls and your thoughts at 1-800-684-3110, is that the Iranian president announced specifically that from July 7th, that's this Sunday, and onward, the ARAC reactor, which is not in operation right now, if you don't operate according to the program and time frame of all the commitments you've given us from the JCPOA, which they can't because of the U.S. sanctions on Iran, there's no way to do that financially, we will return the ARAC reactor to its previous condition. Now, why is that important? Well, this is in the Iranian president's own words, and it's very threatening. Meaning, the condition that you say is dangerous and can produce plutonium, we will return to that unless you take action regarding all your commitments regarding ARAC. Of course, plutonium is a key component of a nuclear bomb. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're seeing brief reaction so far from the U.S., from the president, and from the White House press secretary, both saying, listen, we knew Iran was violating this deal the whole time. That's no surprise. But where the red line should be, how should the U.S. respond? I think we need to work with the Chinese and the Russians, who are a lot stronger than the Brits and the Germans on this issue, to really get Iran under control before military action is necessary. Anyone who calls in, by the way, with an idea or their thoughts on this will receive today a copy of Unholy Alliance, kind of a pre-July 4th Independence Day gift to you. It's written by my dad, The Agenda, Iran, Russia, and Jihad is Share for Conquering the World. And right now we're talking about how Russia could play a role, a serious role in this. They either let Iran move in this direction along with the Chinese, which would be unusual for them, or they join us, maybe reluctantly, but join us in saying, knock it off, Iran, or this is what we're going to do to your economy from our end, which really would cripple Iran if you put Chinese and Russian sanctions on them. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've also got reaction from my dad, President Trump's attorney, on this latest lawsuit from the Democrats' House and Ways Committee on the Trump tax returns. I will read to you his statement as well, addressing that lawsuit. Again, continued harassment of the president by House Democrats. And we've got our matching challenge. Whatever you donate right now to the ACLJ in the month of July is doubled. We've had two great days. Let's make it a third one. ACLJ.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. As your phone calls come in, we will get back to Iran in just a moment. I do want to address a lawsuit that was filed by the House Democrats yesterday. They have the House Ways and Means Committee. The chairman is Richard Neal, a Democrat from Massachusetts. The House Democrats on that committee voted and now to sue and have now sued President Trump for his tax returns. So that begins the high stakes legal battle over President Trump's tax returns. Here's the quote from the Ways and Means Committee chair. When they filed the lawsuit against President, it's actually against the IRS Treasury Department and Treasury. I think the IRS chairman and Steve Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury. It's not actually against President Trump, but of course President Trump's interests are involved here. So this is what the Democrats said. Make it clear, it's not like the House to get combined. You know, in a bipartisan way, filed this lawsuit. This is a partisan lawsuit by the House Ways and Means Committee. The Democrats voted to file the lawsuit. So not bipartisan, the House of Representatives. It's a committee controlled by Democrats and the Democrats alone. That's why it's just to be clear on that. So what did they say? Well, in refusing to comply with the statute, which says they can get access to any tax returns they want, It does, though, has been interpreted to say they must have a cause, a reason, a real reason why they need those tax returns. You can't just get people's tax returns because you want them for political purposes. You have to have something behind that. But they say, in refusing to comply with the statute, defendants have mounted an extraordinary attack on the authority of Congress to obtain information needed to conduct oversight of Treasury, the IRS, and the tax laws on behalf of the American people. That's interesting because they're not requesting documents about the Treasury Department, about the IRS, or tax laws. They're requesting documents about, not on behalf of the American people, but about an American person, the U.S. president. And if they can just, whenever they feel like it, request the president's tax returns without any explanation for why they need it, well, then why can't they request yours? Why wouldn't they be able to request, you know, any of our tax returns this under this power? I feel like probably, as most people looking at this case have said, Treasury Department might lose it at the district court level. Ultimately, probably heads all the way to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court will likely say Congress does not have the power to do this, and it's a question that is not appropriate for the courts. But here's the statement from President Trump's legal team, which I'm a junior member of, but my dad is a counsel to the president and a senior member of that team. Here's his statement. It's in the news reports about this lawsuit. I wanted to read it for you today, so since he could not be on the broadcast today. This is Jay Sekulow, counsel to the president. Quote, in response to the Democrat House Committee's lawsuit over President Trump's tax returns. Quote from Jay Sekulow, counsel to the president. We will respond to this latest effort at presidential harassment in court. I think Politico called it terse, and I think that's right. It's presidential harassment, and the president's legal team will respond as necessary in this latest effort, in just another way to harass the president in court, and it is presidential harassment. But that is the quote from my dad, the chief counsel of the ACLJ, and counsel to President Trump, Jay Sekulow. So I just wanted to address that today because I didn't want to act like we were ignoring that news as well. I know it's in the news, not making as much news, especially during a holiday week as well. There's also some fun news. Think Progress, which I'll get into a little later, which is part of Center for American Progress. That was their news site, Think Progress. They could not stand us. They personally attacked Sekulows. They went after the ACLJ all the time. I mean, for years. Well, they're $3 million in debt. And guess what? The Center for American Progress wants to sell Think Progress. These are all nonprofits, by the way, I thought. But they want to sell Think Progress. So I thought, we were thinking, hey, maybe we'll buy Think Progress. Maybe we'll do a fundraising campaign where we will buy Think Progress. And maybe since I guess Think Progress is still operating today, that may make their website. That the ACLJ, hey, be on notice. We're going to be looking into some budgeting. We'll see how this matching challenge campaign goes. We know you're in some debt, and maybe we can maybe Center for American Progress is interested in so badly in a buyer that they would consider an entity like the American Center for Law and Justice. Not saying we're definitely going to do it, guys, at Think Progress. So, and by the way, most of you there right now will not be there anymore. I don't think so. I think you can assume that the direction of the website would considerably be changed. You know, I'm just playing with you a little bit. I don't think we would waste our money or your money, unless it was a really good deal, on buying a failing, yet another failing liberal news website. But I like to say, another one gone. And they were really nasty. I would get the alerts all the time. Really nasty about our family. Really nasty about the ACLJ. Really nasty about what Christians stand for, what conservatives stand for. And Center for American Progress, if they couldn't keep it going, and it was such a money loser for them, $3 million in debt, it just tells you the lack of of interest in those nasty stories they put up, which makes me feel a little bit better. Obviously, no one was reading it and looking at it. We, of course, get the alerts about it. But ultimately, you could see the impact of Think Progress when you realize they had none. They had so much impact that they are in $3 million in debt, and they're attached to a huge organization that could keep them going if they thought it was worthwhile and decided not to. So congratulations, Think Progress, on your death. We salute you. All right, 1-800-684-3110. I told you we would talk. Continue to take your calls on Iran. And if you got on the show today, you'd get a free copy of Jay Sekulow's Unholy Alliance, which is about the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. We've talked about the role Russia could play. I'm going to get right to the phones. William in Georgia on line one. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jordan, how you doing today? I hope everything is well with you. Two things really quickly. The first thing is what Iran is doing right now with this provocation is they're playing a game of what I like to call political chicken. Now, as far as like what Trump should do, President Trump should do, I think it's one of three ways he can probably handle this. The first way, which you presented before, which would be to get China and Russia involved diplomatically to intervene in the situation and join forces with us. Well, but if worst-case scenario happens and provocation gets to the point where military action is imminent, I think he should first take away all the assets that is contributory towards them actually going further with this program. And if that doesn't work, ultimately use military force to go in there to destroy those facilities where they're producing this uranium.
Well, let me go to Skip Ash first. Skip, the idea going in militarily to destroy this, these reactors, surprise, surprise, a lot of them built by the Germans and German technology, are not so easy to get to. They're built underground inside mountains. So, I mean, it's a major military undertaking to take out a number of these nuclear reactors and the ARAC plutonium reactor as well. I mean, so by taking that action, I mean, it'd be basically not full-scale war, not necessarily invasion, but massive air campaign and probably on the ground intelligence also, because you got to figure out the best way to get at best weapons to utilize to get at actually destroying these very well built, we'll be honest, many of these reactors, which are hidden away in caves and mountains.
Absolutely. The Iranians aren't stupid. They have seen in the past what the United States has been able to do with respect to some of our weapons, the bunker busters and things like that. And therefore, they have hardened their structures and they have dispersed them. So we probably know where a lot of them are. We probably don't know where all of them are. But I think that we could make a big impact on their society by, again, attacking those things which we can attack. But the right now, we can't discount the fact that our attack on their economy is crippling the entire country. And you get to the point where they can't feed their people or they can't provide the proper energy for their people. There's going to be some type of reaction by the people, in which case they have to turn their attention from creating a future nuclear weapon to actually gain control of their country. So what we need to do, in my view, is we need to separate the regime from the people, support the people, isolate the regime, make sure the people realize who is responsible for the bad conditions in the country, which is the regime, and then support the people coming up and rising up against the regime.
Yeah, let me go quickly. Harry Hutchinson on the economic side, as William brought up, it seems like that's the first approach, is that we need buy-in, not just from Europeans, but we need the Chinese and the Russians to institute the same kind of pressure we are on Iran, because I think then the whole regime falls. It cannot maintain itself. It'd have no economy. There would be no place for its oil to be sold, even illegally or in the black market. And I think those countries may be able to be convinced if Iran continues to use rhetoric like we're going to do whatever we want with uranium enrichment. They don't want a nuclear Iran with a nuclear weapon, long range nuclear weapon.
I think you're right. I think the latest move by the Iranians may indeed backfire. It's important to note that in the face of sanctions, the Iranian economy is already cratering with unemployment approaching 20%, and oil exports have fallen by 75%. So if we can get buy-in from Russia and China, this could send the Iranian economy over the edge.
All right, we get back, we take your phone calls. All of you, hang on the line. I know the lines are full right now. You all get a copy of the book, Unholy Alliance. Thanks for calling in. So we get back. Remember our matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family.
Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We get right to your calls on Iran. I know people have been holding on. Get you that copy of the book, Unholy Alliance. Did want to mention a couple other things. One is, it's been a while since I personally have purchased a pair of Nikes. For some other, you know, shoewear brands for active wear. And it's not really a protest thing, by the way. I'm kind of over that and over Colin Kaepernick. Until the first pair of Nikes I was considering buying in a long time, the Betsy Ross edition, which I thought was pretty darn cool, and would probably have to pay a premium for on the, like, you know, the secondary market because they were only making a minimum of them. But Nike then pulls them, you know, because of pressure from again Colin Kaepernick, the idea that they can't have a red, white, and blue with the original flag representing the 13 colonies shoe. This is an American company. And they pull it because of political pressure. That's a little troubling to me in the times that we live in. It makes me rethink. I'm not a boycott person, but it makes me rethink about the Nike purchases. And it's not like we're a Nike-free family at our home or the Sekulow family. I've purchased Nikes for my daughter, for other things. But it was like for the first time in a while, I was thinking about actually buying a pair of them and even maybe paying a premium for them. Because I thought it was so cool that with this patriotic option with the unique Betsy Ross flag. Right now, those that did made it through production, as of yesterday, were going upwards of $2,500 a pair. So they're becoming collector's items. And that's actually kind of a sad thing going into July 4th. But that's a corporate decision. And I do want to make sure, because I don't want to run out of time, to wish you all a very happy 4th of July. We live in the greatest country in the world. But for these stupid decisions by companies like Nike and political disputes we have, yes, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot of dangerous things. We've got the greatest military in the world to protect us so that we can celebrate our independence tomorrow. So a very happy 4th of July. Stay safe. If I know many of you are traveling, you're probably listening to this broadcast while you are traveling. Many of you are listening that way. And if you're planning a trip, enjoy the time with your family, be safe, and just remember how great of a country, how blessed we are to be either born in America or have immigrated to America legally, become citizens or permanent residents, how great it is to be an American, and how many lives have been lost, American lives, voluntarily lost, so that we would first have this country and continue to defend it. So happy 4th of July, if I don't get to that at the end of the broadcast, because I need to get right to the phones. Let's go to Katie in Maryland, online too. Katie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for having me. So I'm wondering two things. One, what are the next steps that happen on Sunday if Iran does not meet the requirements? And two, what's to stop them from keeping on developing their nuclear weaponry secretly?
Well, they're not even trying to do it secretly. I mean, they may be producing more than they're even saying. Like, they may be at higher levels. That's why estimates say that under the deal, they could have gotten a nuclear weapon grades material. And if they had the device to deliver the weapon within a year. Now, under what Iran is saying publicly, it would be 2 or 3 months. Okay. That's what they're saying publicly. So, I mean, I don't trust Iran. So who knows what, you know, privately, the inspector said since Monday, the international inspectors, they're violating the deal. So they are no longer complying with the deal whatsoever. And that's the parts that we were allowed to inspect. Remember, we weren't allowed to inspect the military parts. I think, listen, it's got to be the last option is military attacks, as Skip has gone through in great detail, on the actual reactors themselves, on the nuclear sites themselves. That is the last option, and it is a red line the U.S. has drawn, that we will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. But there are economic ways, Harry, just briefly, because I want to get to these last three callers of the day. We've got to get some more economic. We've done a lot. The U.S. alone can cripple most of Iran's economy because most of the world can't operate financially without operating within the U.S. financial system. So if Iran can't operate within it and you can't do business with Iran and operate it within it, then most of the world can't. But we need a China and a Russia to get on board too and say, you know, hey guys, do you really like Iran saying we're going to do whatever we want with our nuclear program?
Yes, I think you're absolutely correct. So I think we first need to maintain the maximum pressure campaign. And secondly, maintain existing sanctions. Thirdly, enlist the support of allies and even enemies, including Russia and China, because it's not in their interest to have a rogue government producing nuclear weapons in Iran.
Let's go to Ron in Florida on line six. Ron, quickly, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Jordan. My question is this. In view of the fact that Iran will have a nuclear weapon or could have one within 2 to 3 months.
Could, yeah.
Right. What do you think is the likelihood that the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia and some other Sunni...
Yeah, Gulf State allies.
Yeah, would form a coalition and possibly just take out the military, even if they can't get to the underground bunkers, which would bring about a regime change, maybe Russian.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I think the first option would be trying to take out the nuclear structure. And could that be successful? Yes. I think if you put that coalition together, which I think it would form, if they don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, yes, you could destroy Iran's nuclear program. You may even be able to do it through technology. Remember the Stuxnet that shut down their whole system without even having to – it was just a bug. A virus that shut it down. I mean, it was a delay, but it was a pretty long one. So there are options before having to take out the entire Iranian military, most of which are not even that happy with Iran. You're really talking to the Revolutionary Guard. I'd say you want to deal with a nuclear issue first before going after a battle with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. I think with that coalition, you could do it. Quickly, David in Georgia, line three, you're on the air.
Hello. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you. And if you buy that organization, just use Iranian rials. My comment is...
He's talking about Think Progress, which is now up for sales, a liberal news website that loved attacking us. And I said, hey, we might, if the deal is good enough, they're $3 million in debt. So if you take on their debt, that's not a good deal. But Center for American Progress, you know, David, they're so big, too. The fact that they're letting it go just tells you how... few people cared to read that news.
Right. Well, my suggestion is, as far as what we can do, among other things that have been mentioned, is to clean up the Voice of America, drain the swamp in it, and dramatically increase its Farsi and Persian service.
Yeah.
I used to listen to the Voice of America.
Yeah, I've worked with them.
A good neutral source, but it has become very biased, and I'm sure it warms the cockles of the mullah's hearts over there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's one area that... needs to be on the radar of the administration. I've worked with Voice of America before. They had been good sometimes on the persecution issue of Iranian Christians, but oftentimes, again, they're playing their own kind of diplomatic line. Now, I haven't listened recently. Maybe that's changed. So maybe we should both go back and listen, David, and see the response on Voice of America to what Iran has announced today and see how Voice of America is reporting it. There's some big political news, too, just very quickly. The latest Quinnipiac poll came out, and Joe Biden only has a 2-point lead over Kamala Harris. And Elizabeth Warren in third. Sanders has dropped to fourth place. Mayor Pete at 4, and Booker at 3. Have a great 4th of July.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100.